don't just exist. Live live on AWR SID Media.
Once again, good afternoon to you. Welcome back and thank you very much for tuning in. You're listening to Adventist World Radio. It's time for us now to ask a pastor. And our question for today is, why do Christians emphasize the concept of sin when it can lead to guilt and shame? Why are you guilt-tripping us? Huh? Why do you Christians guilt-trip us? Why can't you just tell the truth and preach love like all the other churches? You preach love and wealth. Why do you emphasize the concept of sin? You know it's going to lead to guilt and shame. I'm sure you understand the sentiment there. We do have Pastor Genesis Mitepela to help us answer this question. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you so much, man. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. Getting much better. Thank you very much, Pastor. How are you?
We are fine. It's hot here, Mus. It's hot.
Yeah. It's a warm day today. Yeah, it's a warm day here.
But otherwise, apart from that, we are okay, Mus. Sorry for the gym yesterday, yeah.
No problem, Fundis. Our question for today is, why do Christians emphasize the concept of sin when they know very well it can lead to guilt and shame?
Yeah, that's a very tricky question and a hard one, Mus. But this is the radio station to answer, so we'll try.
Okay.
One thing that we need to acknowledge, it's very true that Christians, to some extent, they actually emphasize sin when they are giving their lessons, when they are preaching and whatsoever, doing whatever they're doing. They actually emphasize sin. And the question now is coming, why do they do that?
Mm.
There are so many reasons, maybe there are several reasons to that. But maybe before I delve into that, Mus, let me just say something that I want my listeners actually to follow through while you see thinking of this illustration that I'm giving right now.
Right.
It's about the Japanese scientists who actually invented a robot that was able to recognize itself in a mirror.
Okay.
So, you know, when journalists were interviewing them and asking them, this is what they had to say. And they said, when this robot learns to hate what it sees, it will have achieved full humanity.
Okay.
That was very, very deep. If the robot learns to hate what it sees in the mirror, it will have achieved full humanity. Okay. So as long as the robot looks in the mirror and recognizes itself and it goes and still loves what it's seeing in the mirror.
Right.
It has not achieved humanity yet.
Okay.
But the moment that it starts hating the robot that it's seeing in the mirror, then the inventors would say, yo.
Okay.
We have created a human here.
Okay.
So this is what exactly I want my listeners to follow as I'll be unpacking this in the answer that I'm going to give on the reasons why Christians emphasize sin.
Right.
Like I said, it might be for several reasons, but if I were to generate the reason why Christians emphasize sin, I would say it's because they have achieved humanity, bruh.
Okay.
Yeah, they've achieved humanity. And only humans acknowledge the presence of sin.
Okay.
And if it is there, then it has to be talked about.
Yeah.
Why? Why talking about it? Actually, when you read in the scripture, I think the scripture gives us some very good illustrations and some very good passages for us to unpack this. And the first one is, we may start with Isaiah. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 59,
right.
Verse 2. It says, sin has separated us from God. In fact, it has gone to an extent of hiding his face from us.
Right.
So that he may not hear us.
Yeah.
So, you know, Christians always want to be heard by God. And the reason why they emphasize on the sin is that people may come to realize who they are.
Right.
And hate what they are.
Right.
And turn to God. That's the reason why. This is exactly the illustration that I gave of the robot.
Okay.
For as long as Christians look into the mirror and they love what they see in the mirror, in their form that they are, then they've not yet achieved humanity.
Okay.
For God created human without sin.
Okay.
And the moment you start seeing sin and hate sin that is in you,
right,
then you are in the pathway to achieve humanity.
Okay.
And for that reason, you will emphasize on what makes you achieve humanity.
Right.
Yeah, that's my take on that one. But like I said, there are so several reasons. And another text that we may need to consider, Mus, it's a very common one. Romans chapter 3.
Right.
Verse 23. Yes, we have all sinned
and fell
short.
That's
very true. We've all sinned.
Right.
But can you, did you see that the one who said we have all sinned has actually acknowledged that he has sin in him?
Yeah.
And what has made him acknowledge that there is sin in him, it is because somebody has preached, has emphasized on the concept of sin.
Right.
And it has been pointed to him that you are a sinner. And what has he come to be? He has come to fall short or to fell short for the glory of God.
Right.
Or the glory of God.
Right.
So because we want that glory, the fact that we are falling short, we are falling short, it means it can be given unto us.
Right.
So the fact that we want it, and we know what is making us not achieve that,
right,
then we emphasize on that. Mm. That's why Christians actually emphasize on sin, yes, sir.
Okay. So what about the guilt part? Because the question here is suggesting that there is a resultant cause. When you talk about sin, you're causing guilt. You're causing shame.
Okay. Maybe may I say to my listeners and your listeners, my brother, that we are just taking a commission and undertaking a commission.
Okay.
Because when you read Luke chapter 24, verse 47, actually, Jesus, in his own words, he said that we must preach the remission of sins, to all the nations. Yes, okay. Starting in Jerusalem.
Okay.
Starting in Jerusalem. So those who are actually hearing the preaching of the remission of sins. So in other words, the moment we are preaching of the remission of sins, we are not actually emphasizing on the sin.
Right.
Yeah, but we are emphasizing on the remission of that sin. So in other words, we are saying we don't want sin which can be remitted. So for that reason, maybe sometimes people, they actually put much emphasis for them on their own, actually in the hearing part of it, that these guys, they always talk of sin.
Right.
And it's now causing us to feel guilty and it is good to feel guilt and it is good to feel shame. That's achieving humanity.
Oh.
You need to feel guilt. You need to feel shame. Unless you do that, then you are a robot that is looking in the mirror and still love what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, the moment, actually, my brother, the reason why we feel guilty, it is because of the human element in us.
Right.
The reason why you feel shame, it is because of the need of redemption that is in us. Anyone who doesn't need redemption from sin through Christ will never feel guilty, will never feel shame.
Right.
Yeah, so guilty is good and shame is good for us. So people should not hate guilty or should not hate the emphasis that is put on sin so that they may feel guilty or shame.
Yeah.
They need to feel that. It's a pathway. They need to. Yes, they need to.
So some people then go on to say, those people who have been preached to using this have not been converted or convicted. They were simply guilt-tripped into conversion. So they accepted not because they believe. They accepted not because they have recognized the role of the Messiah in their lives. They accepted because they are only feeling guilty. Once they are able, the moment they are able to shake off the guilt, they shake off the faith as well. That's why people in a crusade where the preacher has guilt-tripped them, they will stand up because they are feeling guilty. They are feeling shame. But the very same night or the following day down the line, they will repeat the very same sin because they don't see what they were supposed to. They don't see Christ. They only did it because they felt shame. They were guilt-tripped into it.
All right. I hear these people. As they say it, I can hear them saying that. But the truth of the matter, my brother, in this whole thing, is that people do. Okay, maybe let me first concur with them that there are people who are actually guilt-freaked into surrendering their lives just because they felt this guiltiness and the shame, and they say, "I want to give myself to Jesus Christ."
Right.
That's the right process. That's the right process, because we would not have given ourselves to him if we had not acknowledged the presence of sin in my life.
Okay.
I don't want it. That's why I said the moment you look into the mirror and you hate what you see, then you have a reason to go and seek that which redeems you. And that's the moment I'll turn to Christ and say, "Christ, I want to be washed." They are not guilty tricked, but they've been just shown what they are through the mirror.
Yeah.
And they've hated what they have seen. and they just stand up and say, no, I'll go somewhere where I'm going to be washed. And what washes? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's why they turn to Christ. Not that they are guilt tricked. There is no any trick them. Maybe if they would say that there are people who are actually turning into converts, but not converted. Anyone who is not converted, Musi, the truth is, he would not have felt guilty of his sin. But whoever gets converted, it's because of the shame and the guilt that he's running away from.
Right.
Yeah, that's my take, Musi, on that one. That's my take. And actually, what one thing that I want us to know is that those who get converted after their sin has been said publicly and whatsoever, they have actually balanced the shame and guilt with the mercy or with the grace of Jesus. So they've balanced it and said, no. There must be a balance here. Yes, I'm feeling guilty. I'm feeling shame. But I must make a step and be able to become the person whom I want to be. In as much as I cannot do it by my own, but there is someone who is ready to sanctify me. And that's what I think on that one.
Okay. So you're saying when people feel shame, it's okay that the sermon must make them feel shameful and accept purely because of shame. You're saying that's a good thing?
Yeah, you know what? Both the purpose of guilt and shame, my brother, is conviction. Yeah. And repentance and restoration. You need to be convicted for you to repent.
So is guilt and shame conviction?
Sorry, guilt and... I said the purpose of guilt and shame. The purpose.
Okay.
Actually, I would not have get convicted or convinced if I had not felt guilt. I would say, no. I'm fine. The appeal that he is making doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but just because of guilt and shame, actually, they are working in my life to get me convicted.
So
there is conviction.
So they should not join the faith because of what Paul and Silas did to reason with them using the scripture. They should join the faith because they are feeling guilty and shameful.
No. You know the reason why those guys asked, "What then shall we do?" The reason they're asking, "What then shall we do?" And Paul is saying, "Repent and be baptized."
I'm talking about Paul who would go to the different places, whether it is Thessalonica or what. For example, in Thessalonica, Paul preached and he reasoned with them. He didn't guilt trick them. He reasoned with them for 3 Sabbaths up until they were persuaded. The Bible says they were persuaded. They didn't feel guilty. They didn't feel shameful. They were persuaded, not shameful or
he's
guilty.
He's saying they reasoned with them.
The Bible, Acts chapter 17 tells us that Paul and Silas went to Thessalonica and they preached.
Right.
And after preaching, they sat down and they reasoned with the believers. For 3 Sabbaths, the Bible says, they reasoned with them and they persuaded them. Those that were converted into the faith didn't feel shame or guilt. They were reasoning with Paul and they were persuaded. And I'm asking, isn't that the objective, to persuade people, not to guilt them into
it? In what are you persuading them?
The faith.
Are you persuading them to live the life that they've been living, to come to a new faith or to come to a new life? Isn't that what you are doing?
So the Bible says Paul was teaching them that about the Messiah, that Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remember the debate. The debate for the Jews is they were still waiting for a Messiah. At the time when Jesus had come and left, they did not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And so they did not follow Jesus' teachings because they felt Jesus' teachings were slightly radical. And they did not fall in line with the teachings they have of Moses from the Torah. And so Paul sat with them and reasoned with them, showing them how Jesus' life was the fulfillment of the Torah. And so they were persuaded after that. Paul and Silas did not talk about their sins. Paul and Silas did not make them feel guilty or shameful. He simply reasoned with them, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, and they were persuaded.
Didn't they open the Torah?
The Bible says they risen from the scriptures. Absolutely.
Right.
But they did not feel shame or guilt. They were persecuted. The Bible says they were persuaded. Verse 4, Acts chapter 17 says some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas.
You know where we are not agreeing, my brother.
Okay.
It is this point that we are saying. When you say that he persuaded them, and persuaded them.
Right.
What is it that is in the persuasion? These guys, Paul actually saw that these guys are on the wrong side, isn't it?
They
and by sword.
The Bible, okay. The Bible says he explained and proved that the Messiah had to suffer. So again, here it's the cerebral engagement here, not the emotional engagement. He was engaging them intellectually, not emotionally.
So you are bringing another subject of of actually addressing people emotionally. When I stand in the pulpit, then I make them. I make them myself. I make them feel guilty, not the scriptures. But Mina, I feel that the Christians actually, when they are preaching, when they are taking from the Bible, it makes the one who is in the sinful nature to feel guilt about his nature and turn to God.
What I'm
it
suggesting
is wrong when I start.
You can continue, Funis. You can continue.
It is wrong when I start using some semantics and syntax actually to cause people to feel guilty. What I just need to do myself is that I must point people to Christ. But how do I point them to Christ? There must be a mirror that should have shown them that there is need for Christ. And that mirror which is showing them there is need for Christ, they've looked at the mirror and they've seen what they are. And after being convicted, what has made them being convicted? It is the guilt. If we don't feel the guilt and shame, then I don't see ourselves turning wholly to Christ. What's the need of turning to Christ if I'm not feeling ashamed of my about my sinful nature? What is the need for me to turn to Christ if I'm not feeling guilty? I'm guiltless, Musa, if I don't feel guilt. No. That's my feeling and that's my take there.
I understand your feeling, Mfundisi, and your take. I'm simply asking now, in contrast to what we studied from the works of Paul, when he was in Berea, when he was in Athens, and when he was in Thessalonica, there
did Paul preach the remission of sins?
I cannot tell you the content of his sermons.
I mean in his ministry, Paul preach about the remission of sins?
Yes, he did.
He did. You go to Romans. It is this message,
right?
You have all sinned directly to the Romans. You have all sinned.
I have no problem with that, Mfundisi. Again, what I'm suggesting is that
short.
what I was suggesting is perhaps you could clarify for us what is said then by John as he narrates the activities of Paul in these places, whether he was in Rome, whether he was in Thessalonica or Berea or Athens.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. But when you see the works of Paul in the book of Acts is documented by John, you get the sense that John emphasizes that Paul reasoned. He didn't appeal to their senses. He reasoned with them. So verse 2 of Acts chapter 17 says, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them, right? And
okay,
you get the very same thing when he is in Athens. In verse 17, he says, so he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. So you get that sense, Mfundisi, that his tool of choice was not whipping them into a frenzy. He was not getting them emotional and excited. No, his tool of choice was reason. He reasoned with them using the scriptures. Verse 3 in chapter 17 says, he explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead.
Okay.
So I'm suggesting, Funis, that it appears as though the author of the New Testament's most popular books, Paul, reasoned. He didn't use emotions. He didn't guilt trip people into it. He reasoned. If they felt guilty, that was not his intention. His intention was for them to be explained to and to understand.
Okay, so do you mean that the emphasis on this question was actually referring to the weeping of the listeners into feeling the shame and the guilt? That's what you mean, as to they emphasize on that?
Yes. So when I read the question of the person who sent it, it says, "Why do Christians emphasize?"
Okay.
You see, why do Christians emphasize the concept of sin when it can lead to guilt and shame?
Okay, maybe if I may ask a question then.
Yes, Mfunis.
I remember very well when Paul was standing before the judges, and he told them that the Jews, said, you know, after he had been released from the jail miraculously, he went back and they were talking and said, why are you preaching this man here? Then he said, this is the man that you are preaching, the man that you killed. And he went on to preach about him. And didn't that make them feel guilty? And to a point whereby they had to testify that a high-ranked emperor had to testify that I almost... So this is where I'm trying to say, if the question then is about weeping, we mustn't do that. If it is about weeping saints into feeling shame and guilty, then it mustn't be like that. It's wrong. But if it is about emphasizing on sin, as in just in preaching, trying to tell the sin out, then if it is about reasoning about people, about their sins and the need for redemption, then that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But if it's referring to the actual emotional psyche and try to kind of do theatrical moves to them so that people may say, no, that's not it. If there are any Christians doing that, that's a wrong thing.
Okay.
That's the wrong thing. Yes.
So the Bereans, Mfundisi, are known to be more noble than, more eager than the people I was quoting in Thessalonica. In fact, these guys, after Paul had said whatever he had said, were told that they went to go and examine and study the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying is actually true.
All right.
So,
what would push them to do that? For maybe just in imagination.
to verify. So, if I'm on my way to Zimbabwe, and I don't know my way to Zimbabwe, I get given instructions or a map, and then somebody comes and says, "No, turn left instead of right." My job, if I want to get to Bulawayo or Harare, I need to go and consult the map and the instructions and to see if what this person who's telling me to turn left is saying what is in the map. Because my objective is to get to my destination. Granted, I'll appreciate people who are guiding me and telling me where to go, but I need to verify what they're saying, because I've been given the instructions or a map, isn't it?
Yeah, rather than just listening to people who are saying you are lost.
Exactly, and then you follow it. This one says turn left, and you turn left, and the other one says, no, turn right, and you turn right. Go back to the instructions, go back to the map, and verify if what you're being told by these people is actually true. Yeah,
I'm picking you up now, and I'm moving with you now.
Okay.
Yes, it's very true. We need to put our listeners in a mode of checking with the correct map as on how to get where they want to go, rather than pushing them to take a certain direction which they cannot prove it is okay.
Absolutely.
So, we need not to do that.
So to your point now, Mfundisi, when you're saying to somebody, it is wrong to have many wives, polygamy is wrong, people shouldn't just listen to those people. They must go back to the scriptures and verify, is what these people are saying still really in the Bible? Is polygamy, as far as the Bible is concerned, really wrong?
Right.
And they then must take their decision which path they will follow after they have listened to you saying polygamy is wrong, and they read the Bible and they find out that the Bible really agrees with you when you're saying polygamy is wrong. Then they will stop. They will stop polygamy, because what you have preached is right, and what is in the scriptures it has been proven by reason and understanding that it's wrong and they stop.
Mm-hmm. So which is very true. On that one, I actually agree with you, Mus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be, I think when you preach, like you're saying, you are talking about something that the Lord doesn't want.
Right.
You need to convince, and conviction comes through reasoning.
Right.
I agree with you.
Right.
I agree with you.
Right.
But I just want us to get to know one thing.
Okay.
Whenever you see a preacher in Christendom, emphasizing in quotes now the way I've understood it from what you've explained to me.
Right.
Emphasizing sin. He's just trying to put you in he's giving you a myopia so that you can sleep and be able to do whatever he wants to do with you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I feel after you have explained to me the way to emphasize.
Okay.
But as long as you see someone who is coming and sitting down with you and they try to kind of tell you where to find the map,
right,
to get where you want to go and point you on the map that this is where you want to be,
right,
you need to take this route.
Mm.
I totally agree with that one.
Okay.
I do agree with that one.
I hear you. Mfundisi.
Sure.
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate your insights. Let's talk tomorrow once again. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you so much, my brother.
Ngosi Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.